Well, quite a few times when I was a teacher, I'd have a message that some VIP was in the school and he'd be coming to observe my lesson. And you'd prime the kids, you'd say, look, some well-dressed fella's going to come in. He's going to sit at the back, just take no notice of him and just carry on as best we can, as normal. And then sometimes he'd be halfway through the lesson and one of the kids would say, what time's he come in, sir? And I think, yeah, good question, what time is he come in? And sometimes he wouldn't come at all. Have you ever arranged to meet somebody and they're late? Or you've invited somebody to come round for lunch or whatever to see you and there's no sign? Well, last week we saw the Lord Jesus pouring out his heart over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why? You know, I've longed to gather you like a hen gathering the chicks and you won't come. Now he says, in the bit that's in red, two big things. Number one, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. It's going to be flattened, devastated. And number two, they won't see him for a while, and the next time they see him, it will be a very big occasion. Such a big occasion that people will be saying good things about Jesus, great things. They'll be shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, often in the Old Testament, we got these two big roles, these two big jobs, the priest and the prophet. The prophet represented God to the people. He spoke to the people on behalf of God. And the priest then, he had the other role of dealing with God on behalf of the people. So he had these two big roles. Now, obviously, sometimes the prophecy, by the prophet, was double-barreled, meaning it had an immediate application right then and there, but also, and more frequently, I think, it pointed to some cataclysmic event in the future that only God could know, and therefore only the prophet could know because God had told him. Well, here we got Jesus. He is priest. He's the ultimate priest. He is the king. And he's the prophet. And he prophesies here the demolition of Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70, flattened. And he also has got this other prophecy about, well, when he comes next to them, there's going to be a big day, a special occasion where people are going to be saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now then, that was fulfilled when he entered Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Partially fulfilled, certainly. And the crowds went nuts, if you remember, all shouting, Hosanna, Hooray. And yet the same crowds that shouted, Hosanna, a few days later were saying, crucify him. We know that. But there's a further reference, a bigger reference I want to try and focus on this morning. He says that he is coming, and when you see me, people will be saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because there's a time when Jesus will come again. Not in humility this time, but in glory. And when I say that, none of us have any idea how big a word glory is when he comes. There used to be a song years ago, like a thief in the night, he will come. There will be nowhere left you can run. Michael Jackson was asked in the early 90s by Oprah Winfrey, what do you know for sure, Michael? Michael was honest, nothing. And if you're honest, what do you know for sure? Not much. What do you know for sure? There was a couple in my street when I was a kid. He worked in the steelworks. He was a rigger. They had a flaming row just before he went to work, lunchtime. He called her something. She called him something. He went out of the house and slammed the door and went to the bus stop to wait for his bus. She shouted abuse after him. Within a short time, he'd caught his bus to work. She calmed down. And she realized what an idiot she'd been. And so she said, well, I'll say sorry as soon as he comes home. But he never came home. He fell in work and died. See, what do you know for sure? Very little. Very, very little. But this I know. The skies will thrill with rapture. And myriad, myriad voices sing. What's happening? Jesus is coming again. That is the one thing. I don't know anything else, really. Not really. Not for sure. He's coming back as king. He's coming back as judge. Not to save then. It'll be too late then. He's not offering salvation then. Now, on Palm Sunday, the crowd did go bananas. They went bonkers shouting praises. But next time he'll enter the city, it'll be to end. Not just Jerusalem, but to end this world as we know it. These are massive things. What do we know for sure? Well, if you're honest, only this. That's all you know. that he will come, Jesus is coming. As somebody once wrote, when the author walks onto the stage, the play is over. When Jesus comes, it's not just the end of Jerusalem, it is the end. He's not coming with the gospel then. That's now. That's today. That's this morning. He's coming there as King of Kings and Lord of all the Lords. Now again, as it happened on Palm Sunday, most of those who shouted his praises a few days later were shouting something different. In other words, the praises were meaningless. What have you got? We just sang. Sing to the Lord with all of your heart. Did you? Are your praises meaningful, or are they just as meaningless as those people in Jerusalem that day? He's coming at the end of the age. Why is he coming at the end of the age? Because it's his world. He created it, as Henry's put this up, the Colossians 1 verse, for him, by him, it's all for him. He's coming, it's his world, the earth is the Lord. He deserves the praise of everybody who's ever lived, every single person on planet Earth. Now the question is, does that mean anything to you? I'm not going to try and frighten you now with judgment, though that is definitely something he's going to do when he comes. I just want you to think about the astonishing event when he comes, and how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Everybody. And every eye will see him. Remember, as a young Christian, somebody saying, trying to explain to me, see, because of satellite TV, now it'll be beamed around the world. He doesn't need satellite TV. He created everything. The laws of physics are his. He can do whatever he likes. When he comes, every eye will see him. Now, he will punish all who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. That's 2 Thessalonians. You can't get away from it. I was just listening to the news this week on the radio, and the first three items, 71 years since the liberation of Auschwitz, concentration camp. Next news then was about dozens of people saying that they had the missing lottery ticket. The third item there was Tesco's deliberately delaying paying people so that people almost went out of business. And I just thought, now they're sin straight away, isn't it? And I just thought, yeah, am I any better? Are you any better? The answer is no. No, you're not. Now, do you ever contemplate, do you ever think what sort of God we've got when he comes? What sort of God am I dealing with here? Listening to the radio as I was driving to my mother's this morning, a religious program on the radio, and she recited this rhyme. Now, the first time I've heard the rhyme, so I'm not going to get it bang on, right? But it's something like this, talking about when the judge comes at the end of the age and writes the score next to our name, it won't be whether we've won or lost, but how we played the game. And she read it, and I thought, yeah, well, that's rubbish. It's sentimental drivel, because it matters very much what we did with Jesus. It matters more than anything else. I remember when I was in school, in the comprehensive school, there was a mate of mine, Malcolm. He was only a little guy. He was brilliant at all sport. He was a lovely guy. But because he was so he was outstanding at sport, and when he was 11, he was playing rugby for the under-15s, like he was that good. And some big boys one day, I've never forgotten it, it was playtime, break time, and these three big, like 15-year-old guys were surrounding him, pushing him and goading him, and he was only a little guy. You know, do you want to fight? You know, do you want to, Malcolm Fletcher, his name, do you want to fight Fletch? And they were pushing him, and he said, I don't want to fight you. And they kept pushing. I always remember he had his kit bag on his shoulder, he put his kit bag down, as he put it down, he just turned and hit this bloke, cold. Hit him cold. The other two just went, whoa! Yeah. But you know, Jesus is coming. Have you any idea who you're dealing with? Have you any idea what it'll mean when he comes? When he comes, he is king. Have you ever thought about it? When you hear the wind howling or thunder sometimes and everything shakes and you're a bit, wow, he's coming. He's coming. At last, the Savior of the world is king, and everybody will say he's king then. Well, he won't do them any good if they didn't trust him, but they'll acknowledge. They'll be compelled to acknowledge. Now, I had a frightening experience some years ago on a beach in Anglesey, when we were doing Christian work there on a beach mission. I was talking to this guy. He'd been a pain in the neck. He'd visited a few times during the week. He was 17. Once he threatened to go home and get a knife for me. He was going to, because I was telling him about Jesus, and he was annoyed. And this particular night, as I was talking to him, and he was so stroppy and so abusive, in the end, I said, "Let me warn you now that Jesus is coming." And it was a murky night. It was August, but it was very cloudy, overcast. And I said, "Let me tell you now, Jesus is coming." And as I was saying that, he could see behind me. And what had happened behind me was the sun had just burst through the clouds. And suddenly, as I was saying, "Jesus is coming, look." As I said that, suddenly everybody, who I couldn't see it, obviously, this huge splurge of light on the clifftop, and everybody went, "Whoa!" And I turned, and the first thing I thought, I'm saying, "Jesus is coming," I thought, "He's come." And I was terrified, I've got to be honest. By the time I turned back, the guy had seized the opportunity, and he had legged it. "He's coming. This time he won't be hidden away in a stable manger with a few shepherds seeing him. Every tongue will confess. Every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. All flesh will see his glory. He's coming for his children. More important than that, he's coming because he's going to get on that day the honor he deserves." You know, Channel 5, sometimes they say, in the next movie, now there's some strong language. They warn you. But if it's just blasphemies, if it's just people saying Jesus or Christ or oh my God, they don't warn you. Why not? It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter to them. But when he comes, everybody will see it was a big deal. Oh, was it a big deal? He cares about his name. He cares about his reputation. Every day Christians are being martyred for refusing to bow to other gods. Do you think Jesus notices what's happening now in the Middle East? Even probably now at this very moment, some are having their throats slit because they love Jesus Christ and they won't acknowledge anybody else. Do you think Jesus cares? Well, that day they will see how much he cares. When he comes, the world will see how much he cares. You know, do you remember that story, Helen Roosevelt in the Congo in 1964? And the Simba uprising, these rebels, and two of them knocked at a door, one had a spear, one had a rifle, and she opened the door, and one of them went with a spear just like that, and she closed her eyes and prayed. She was scared, and she prayed and thought, "Well, whoa, I haven't been speared." And she opened her eyes. Power of God had come so much that these two men were transfixed. They couldn't move. All she could see was the terror in their eyes as they went to attack her and suddenly were frozen by the sheer power of the Spirit of God. Well, one day the whole world will see that power. They'll be awed by that power and will be compelled to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now then, I don't know about you, but over the years I've had quite a bit of hate mail since I came here. I remember one was very neatly typed out and was littered with lies about what I'd said and what I'd done, and threatening to sue me, threatening to write the newspapers and whatever. And initially, I highlighted all the untruths, went through it, and thought, "Well, I'll just write at the side now what actually happened." And then I just thought, "No, I won't. And so I sent the letter back to them unchanged, except I'd written at the bottom this: "There is a last day coming when Jesus comes. All the books will be opened. Every truth, every lie will be exposed. Every truth revealed. I can wait for that day." Now the question is, can you? I can wait for the vindication of Jesus. Now there are over 250 references in the New Testament alone to this fact that Jesus is coming. The Lord has a day in store. A day is coming. When's he coming? I don't know. But I do know he's not going to give you a 2-minute warning. But I do know also, when he comes, you'll know. There won't be any doubt. People will be perhaps researching for news at 10 items, and suddenly he'll come, and the biggest news item of all, they'll never get a chance to print. They'll never get a chance to go on air. Hugh Edwards won't be able to come on and say, "Guess what? Jesus came." It'll be too late. then. But for those of you who say you love him, just like Anne said in the story, do you long for him to get the credit he deserves? Do you feel the pain when people just use his name as not even a swear word? It's not even important enough to be a swear word when they blaspheme. Do you long for that day when at last everybody will just fall at his feet and acknowledge he was Lord all along? There's a test now. If you really don't long, or you've never longed for him to at last get all the glory, I doubt if you're a Christian at all. See, it's not just a matter of praying a simple prayer. It's a question of, oh, do you love this Jesus? Do you long for his appearing? Do you long for the fact that at last the Saviour of the world will be acknowledged as King?